Well, it's great to be here. Thanks, Russ and Glenn. Finally, I got to hear you talk in Brazil. We were in opposite sessions at the same time. Yeah, stink bugs really are back, aren't they? I'm going to try to give a little bit of an overview, and actually, sort of amazing at this point, there's too much chemistry on the pheromones of stink bugs to cover it all. And I'm not, I know this is an entomology group, and I'm not even going to put the names of the chemicals up there, but I'm going to put the structure. So just look at them, and they're sort of like morphological characters. And then I'm going to talk some about the invasive stink bug. I was so happy to see in 2001 in the Washington Post that we had an invasive stink bug. Let's see here, Russ. Am I doing wrong already? Chemical ecology is a collaborative effort. I'm an entomologist. I've learned some analytical chemistry, but I'm not a synthetic chemist, and it's absolutely essential to work with good chemists. And this is my chemist colleague on the bug project now, Ashad Krimian, great chemist. I've had the privilege over the years to work with some very good chemists. Now, as I mentioned, there's really too much chemistry here to go over, so I'd refer people who are really interested to look at this chapter by Jocelyn Miller. It's a great piece of work. It's a long chapter, and he covers a lot of examples that I'm not going to even touch on. There are the chemistry is all over the board. There are some very complicated structures that I'm not going to mention. I'm going to try to show what I call chemical themes, and hopefully you can recognize these, and I'll take us through this. This is maybe my favorite bug, or at least it was. I call it Podysis. Everybody else in the room calls it Podysis maculomenser. It's a spine soldier bug, and there's one subfamily of predaceous pentatomids, and this was the first bug I worked on. I actually translated a French paper, described these kinds of glands. These bugs have the regular stink gland, which is in the metathorax, but under the wings, the males here have these enormous glands, which are in the female. These are the biggest organ in the body, bigger than the testes of the insect. And the female glands are tiny, but they are active in producing different compounds than in the male. This is the chemical analysis of that. Those male, what I'm calling dorsal abdominal glands, and you're going to see DAG throughout. That's dorsal abdominal gland. So this is just a simple mixture of leaf aldehyde, benzyl alcohol, alpha-tropinolol. You don't even need benzyl alcohol. Just these two compounds. This is a chiral compound, meaning it has left and right like your hands. The insect produces, I think, the S plus. The antipode does not inhibit. So that is, from a practical standpoint, very, very useful because you can use the racemic. And in fact, you can buy, anybody want to make this pheromone, you can buy these compounds from any Aldrich Chemical Company. I wish it was my company, but it really isn't. Although I've had fun over the years joking about that. And so this is a male-produced pheromone. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, back up. And it attracts the adult females and the nymphs. In all these pheromones of pentatomids, the nymphs are also attracted. And in the talk we just heard, it's intriguing to me to see these patchiness and what's going on. I mean, what I think is basically going on is the males generally are smaller than the females. They're looking for food, they find food, they start to produce a pheromone, and then they're attracting a mate. Other males go there because that's where the action is, and the nymphs go there, walk there, because that's where the food is. Of course, the older I get, the less I really know about these stink bugs, as that's sort of how we'll wind down. So it's much more complicated than that simplified version. So let's keep going. I showed you those little dorsal abdominal glands in the males and the females. Now this is a Eschistus species. This is sort of an aside in this talk, but in most of the bugs, they have these dorsal abdominal glands, which we really don't know what they do, but they're small. They're not particularly sexually dimorphic. Some time ago, I got the idea that, well, these dorsal abdominal glands might be producing minor compounds that are involved in species isolation. I did a test with the major compound that I'll show in a minute. And in fact, I got a significant result. It was just the opposite of what I expected. They've in fact repelled those blends, repelled bugs. So maybe there's actually spacing pheromones. There's a word for that that I can, epidiadic or something. I have a hard time pronouncing it. But yeah, let's start off then with some of the other predaceous pentatomids. They don't all have these big, huge dorsal abdominal glands. And this is in the subfamily Assopinae. They are the predaceous pentatomids. But in some of these that lack these dimorphic dorsal abdominal glands, the males have these patches of setae on their abdomen that are completely absent in females. And this was the kind of thing that I still get very excited about, you know. And so this looks like must be a pheromone gland. And it was very difficult. I would rear these things, you know, and take good care of them, and they didn't produce anything. And finally, there was an old-timer, Norm Davis, said, why don't you starve them and then feed them? And I did that, and it seemed to turn them on, and they produced compounds on these hairs. And this was the structure that we identified. This is very unlike the stink gland chemistry. Maybe I should have shown a background slide, but that stink that you smell is probably, it's either, hexenol, octenol, decenol, these are, but anyway, this is a male-specific compound, isovalerate ester, methyl group. These are chiral centers. We don't know the chirality. We've come a long way in the ability to analyze things, but this is still a difficult problem because you've got a functional group over here and your first chiral center is far removed. So it's the chiral columns that we use don't do well here. So we haven't figured out the chirality, but so this is sort of a first theme, I guess we're on the second theme already. The first theme was simple unusual combination of simple compounds. Now we're into an unusual compound. And this species is also has these, where'd my pointer go? Yeah, the same seedy. This is a native North American species. It's producing the alcohol of that isovalerate ester. And I was able to actually show that this compound does, even though I'm using the racemic, I don't know the chirality, this does attract the adults, males and females, the nymphs walk to this compound. Okay, now we're jumping in time quite a ways and all the way around the world. This work was done. This was a PhD student. Now Sao Young is a, I think, a professor in Taiwan. And so this bug here has those same kind of glands on the sternum, the males. And what I want to point out here, well, first of all, they produce the exact same, at least the same skeleton. Again, we're ignoring chirality here, but the really interesting thing that I'm going to come back to later, I have no idea how long this talk's going to go, so you keep me up.
We've got
to
10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, good. Usually I go too long,
but
I got time to take a drink of water. Well, look at here. Reared in groups, they produced 4 nanograms. Reared singly, they produced 500 times more stuff. Now that's pretty significant. And I must confess, everything I've ever done here, just about, has been with groups. And this sort of feeds into my other theme. The more I work, the less I know about this bug here. But still you have this, where did my pointer go? Yeah, the same kind of chemical theme here from an insect on the other side of the world. I guess, you know, from the standpoint of evolution, these things work together. But so you see these same chemical themes from bugs all over the world. Now I'm gonna get into the plant feeding bugs, which is the majority of the stink bugs. This is a species that's from Australia, and it's a big bug, does damage to citrus. And this bug here does actually have these dorsal abdominal glands that I've been talking about. And there's a close-up of them, a little different morphology. They have those glands in the female. And it produces, for chemists, this is a theme out there, but it's a theme of one. This is an unusual compound. You've got this strained ring system, lactol, chirality involved, and this is a pheromone. This does attract, again, it's a male produced and attracts males and females and nymphs. I think the nymphs walk to this. I think it's been shown to. So some of these plant feeding bugs, in fact, do have sexually dimorphic dorsal abdominal glands. Most of the plant feeding bugs, however, do not have any kind of gland that I can find that is sexually dimorphic. And so the situation really is we find male-specific compounds, and it's thought that they come from the single cells in the abdominal epidermis, which complicates things. There's no gland that we can dissect out. So people do aerations, and it's sort of like hit and miss, you know. You get a bug, you rear the bug, you put it in a cage, you separate males and females. And sometimes you get male-specific compounds, but other times it just doesn't work, and then you go work on something else. And I'm going to come back to this, too, at the end. Now here's Eustistis. Actually, I prefer the Brazilian pronunciation, Eucistis. It's so nice. And here is now another chemical theme. This is a methyl ester, two double bonds, that's trans, cis, or EZ. And this is a main component in many Eustistis bugs. I like to call this the meaning of small minds. But here we have, seven different Eustistis species, and that methyl 2E4Z decadienoate is the main compound in all of those. And when I look for minor compounds, and for example, those little dorsal abdominal glands that might account for species isolation, well, I haven't found them. I haven't found how they're isolating. Of course, these bugs are doing other things like substrate vibrations that may are definitely involved in species isolation. Now, and again, these that was done by aeration of males, as was this. This is work by Jocelyn Miller's group, a student, postdoc, or PhD student, I think, Heather McBride. And here we have the same chemical theme, just now with another double bond. So this is, you know, the 2,4,6, same skeleton, decatrienoate. And again, a methyl ester. In this case, the insects need that compound with any one of these three. Now this is a completely different biosynthetic pathway. This is a 15 carbon, for those of you who know a little chemistry, these are sesquiterpenes. And it's a redundant system. They need one of these sesquiterpenes at least with this compound to be attractive. And I'll point out in this case, as Jocelyn's a chemist and more thorough than I am, I think, but this is a 7S chiral enantiomer, or maybe it's a diastereomer, I don't know. But in any case, I point that out because here we have a species, another species. Now we've heard about this Pisiodorus gildinii that's actually becoming more and more important. My friend John Reese from Kansas State told me the entire soybean crop from Louisiana this year was downgraded at the grain elevators because of stink bug damage. And he thinks this was the major pest. And but that's this bug here now is producing that beta sesquiphalandrine, but the antipode, the opposite enantiomer. And that's how things work. So I got 5 minutes? Okay. Here's another example. Same kind of theme, methyl ester theme, but double bonds thrown in. And what I'm pointing out here is these two species, Jocelyn found, basically have identical pheromone blends. So obviously they have to have something else that's isolating them. Whether that's acoustics or something we don't know, we need to work on this kind of thing. And then again, an extension of the sesquiterpene theme. This is our native Acrosternum hilare. Let's see. So they're making an epoxide here. This is an actual ratio. They need that 95-5 ratio of these stereoisomers. And I want to show also some about tachinids. Tachinids are using pheromones of bugs to find bugs. And I've got these compounds, and this is all done at Beltsville, so I know these tachinids pretty well. And let's just say this species here is only using the bisabolene epoxides. And these flies be great indicators of what pheromones bugs have. There's a close-up of Trichopoda pinnipes, which is a fairly specific to the green stink bugs and also Leptoglossus. In the lab, I can create this artificial scene here. Normally, they only lay one egg on a bug, but if you confine them in a cage, they will lay many eggs, so they're not marking their host. Now, finally, we're getting to the brown marmorets. I feel like now I'm giving my whole talk in the last 5 minutes. But this bug showed up here in Allentown, Pennsylvania, probably got in the 90s in cargo, and it's spreading like crazy. And this Halimorpha halis probably came in from Japan or Korea or somewhere like that. And you're going to be seeing this bug, I think. And again, because I can catch these tachinids, I can play games like put the tachinids, our native tachinid here, in a cage with that bug. And at first I didn't think they were parasitizing him. But in fact, this thing will lay eggs on this invasive bug, but only under the wings. I've removed the wings. Only under the wings. So we do see some tachinid parasitism. These are bugs I got from Allentown. Found 17 eggs out of 800, blah, 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 down there. Didn't find any under the wings. Actually reared Trichopoda pinnipes from two. So our native parasitoids, the tachinids, have already started to parasitize this foreign bug. Kim Holmer, I'm happy to see, is in the audience, and he's I know, and he's verifying in his work that the egg parasitoids are much more important, and are probably, I believe, definitely already shifting onto this new bug. Now this bug here, we can't find a pheromone from it, but in its native range in south far east in Japan, they have a bug that's I'm showing here, Plotistolae. Here we're back to this chemical theme. And the interesting thing for us is they reported that this Halimorpha is cross-attracted to the pheromone of Plotistolae. So that gave us at least some compound to start with to try to test. And I did have been testing using these kind of traps at Beltsville. And sure enough, if we put out that compound, we catch a lot of those bugs. Adding the epoxide. The epoxides here, I don't know if that's significantly different. I don't believe it is. But the interesting thing is, like, I caught Acrosternum hilare. Now, maybe you noticed the earlier slide, I think I put that in quotes, the pheromone of hilare in quotes, because I'm catching Acrosternum hilare to this compound, but we never found that compound from Acrosternum hilare. And the epoxides, which are supposed to be the pheromone, I'm not catching Acrosternum hilare, but I do catch its parasite. So figure that out. If you have an idea, let me know. So we're catching Halyomorpha with that compound, just like they said in Japan. We're catching our native green stink bug to the pheromone, or it's attracted to the to this methyl ester, but not what we're calling its pheromone. Yet, and we can't find that compound from either of these species. And the pheromone attracts the parasite. So we obviously there's things left to be found out here. So what is there are some hypotheses. This is not unprecedented in bugs, or for that matter in other insects. For example, Ted Mitchell gave a talk earlier at this meeting about serum byssids, where they're cross attraction. Probably this is to find food. And this is a reference that's a very good reference, showing that I guess it's Piziodorus is attracted to the pheromone of this as an elided. But the fact is, Piziodorus itself produces a pheromone. So, with this pheromone eavesdropping, this cross attraction, there's a reference. This then is summarizing at Beltsville the buildup, the spread of this species using traps baited with that methyl ester. I didn't catch anything in 2004. I'm just looking at the same two traps in the same location. In fact, in other traps, I caught one bug in 2005 and three nymphs. And then it jumped up tremendously, a little bit in 2006, big surge in 2007. And now this year we've dropped down a little bit. Now whether this is significant, I'm not sure. Maybe this does mean that some of these parasitoids, probably most importantly the egg parasitoids, have kicked in a little bit. But we can definitely use this compound in these traps to monitor the spread of this bug. But getting back to the real questions, like why can't we find an attractant pheromone in this Halyomorpha? Well, maybe they don't produce a pheromone. Right? They don't have to. They go to other bugs' pheromone to find food. Or maybe we're doing something wrong. And I'm pretty sure that it's this one. You know? And I'm going to end with a slide that's going to introduce our next speaker. Jocelyn told me if I said anything bad, she would... Okay, I won't go there. So, this is Mergantia. This is my last slide, Russ, so stop squirming. Here's this group effect again. Single bug, here we are, what's that, nanograms? Groups of 15, a tenth, okay? Everything I've ever done with bugs has been in groups. So, 28 years worth of working on groups of insects, we're going back and we're rearing single insects. And with that, we're going to hear more about this bug, and thank you for your attention.